Some years ago, I think it was in your piece, End of a Stage, Beginning of a New Stage, you wrote about the positive role of unresolved contradictions under socialism. It was focused up around key or fault line things in socialist society. I'm trying to understand that point in the context of the new synthesis and the whole question of solid core and elasticity. It seems to me that while the new synthesis comprehends this point, it's not exactly the same point. And it points to something I think about the synthesis. There's a way in which that's going to have to take concentrated expression around these key fault line questions. For instance, around the struggle over uprooting national oppression and white supremacist ideas, we would really concentrate some effort to bring forward solid core with elasticity, putting it in the hands of the masses, but opening up dissent, bringing forward representatives of different kinds, including opposing views on this, to have people grapple with those ideas and that type of thing. This is part of the way that you can take leaps in transforming both the base and superstructure. Could you comment on the connection between these two points, that earlier point and this one, the synthesis point?
Well, I could, but it's late. No. Let me just try to say a couple of things quickly. This is a big question, and you know, this has to be an ongoing point of discussion. But I think the point of unity here between these things is that, you know, you're not going to get to communism by sort of, you know, it has to do with a parachute point too, you know, and things changing when you make a qualitative leap. You're not going to get to communism by just you make a leap, you seize state power, and then kind of like you got the socialist state, and so you mobilize the population, and there you go forward, you know, step after step, transforming, you know, various aspects of society and overcoming different social inequalities and changing people's thinking and having an educational system that trains them to think in a different way, and there you go, la-di-da. You know, that it's going to be much more contradictory than that, sometimes acutely contradictory, and there are, this was raised in beginning in conjunction with another important point about how, you know, part of the contradictory motion of things is that you have a proletariat that's oppressed under capitalism, and then it seizes power, and it's not oppressed in the same way. It's not exploited. It's no longer the exploited class. However, we should understand that that's true only in a certain aspect and ultimately in a secondary aspect, because, as we know, just the seizure of power and even the socialization of the ownership of production. If you go back to what Lenin identified as the three different aspects of the relations of production, in all three of them, to varying degrees, until you get way down the road toward communism, the proletariat is still on the short end of the stick, if you will, even in socialist society. It's still, in terms of, think of that second part of the relations of production, the division of labor. It is still on the manual side of the mental-manual contradiction. It is still not in a position of equality around that. It is still not receiving the same income as people who do highly skilled things that require a lot of time and effort to acquire that knowledge and skill, like a physicist or someone like that. You know, That kind of work of physics is what Marx called compound labor. In other words, it's not just simple labor that, like, you know, you go and if you have certain physical qualities and a certain basic understanding of things, you can be employed doing this or that kind of job. But it requires developing, you know, a certain skill that may require years of education, working in a certain realm, that's beyond what it takes just to do this or that kind of manual labor. So you still have that inequality. It takes much more time and education and training in the larger sense to do some things than others, even in socialist society. And then, you know, so then you get remunerated, you get paid accordingly differently. So in all those ways, the proletariat still hasn't fully overcome the position that it was in capitalist society, even though in an essential way, it's not exploited. It is increasingly eliminating the gap between the labor that it does and what it produces through its labor. You know, where that goes and what it's being used for is no longer, increasingly, is not something that's alien to and opposed to the interests of those who are creating that wealth. But there's still these other dimensions in which the proletariat is still on the short end of the stick, so to speak, and still wants to, you know, in a collective sense, not in the terms of every proletarian again, can be mobilized to see the need to change those things. But there are other contradictions that come to the fore more forcefully. All the things that are left over from capitalism that you've only begun to work on, such as the oppression of women, for example, is going to pose itself very acutely. Are you going to go on and really uproot this and carry forward, you know, this is part of the four alls, all the social relations, and the way that interconnects with the economic relations and with its expression in the superstructure, or are you going to stop halfway and then have everything go back? You know, and so what I was speaking there in the beginning is a way in which some of these contradictions are going to be pushing themselves to the fore. And how, and this does have, this ties in also with the whole orientation of the new synthesis. How do you look at those contradictions? Negatively or mainly and strategically positively? You know, oh, fuck, you know, we've got all these contradictions that can work against us. You know, all these people that are dissatisfied. Or do you say, good, we got a lot of people who are dissatisfied and we can, you know, yes, that causes us problems, not good in some, you know, sort of goody-goody kind of sense, you know. But, you know, like good in a strategic sense, because that's, you know, that's a driving force that can help us go where we need to go. That's a bunch of people dissatisfied who don't want to stop here. That was the point in the beginning. They don't want to stop here because if we stop here, you know, they're going to still be suffering and then we're going to go back anyway. So that is a question of having a positive orientation toward that and recognizing how that can be a very powerful force propelling things toward where you want to go when maybe some other things might be more intending to settle in. And that is sort of methodologically and epistemologically not identical with, but related in some ways to this point about welcoming and fostering dissent and opposition, because that also brings to the fore things that need changing, things that need transforming, things that are acutely posing themselves in the way of where you need to go. So that was the point of that orientation, is like, what attitude, what orientation do you have toward people who are dissatisfied and want to go farther, because if you don't go farther, there's still going to be a heavy weight on them in this society. Is that a bad thing? I mean, since it exists, you know, how strategically, how do you view it? Is it a bad thing, or strategically is it a good thing? Because this is going to, you know, it's not that you would invent it, but it exists. So, you know, what is it going to lead to? Is it going to lead you to respond to it toward mobilizing it and, you know, leading it where it needs to go, but also, you know, relying on that, you know, giving expression, more conscious expression to that, but also relying on that, you know, and giving the biggest thrust to that kind of a sentiment? Or do you want to sort of try to suffocate it? Because, oh, we don't want discontent in socialism now. Or do you want that discontent and that ferment, and then you have to work through and once again synthesize it toward where things need to go to actually resolve that contradiction that's giving rise to that discontent and all the other contradictions that still remain to be struggled through to get to the achievement of the four alls? And that's, I think, how we should see that.